Welcome in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Wednesday edition of the show. Let's get ready to get locked in on the birds alongside one of my co-hosts, Lars Lewis, today.
We got some wild news today.
Yeah, the NFL, it's supposed to be the quiet period in between, the Super Bowl and Senior Bowl and the Combine. There's just that dead zone because free agency hasn't started yet.
Not this year.
Not this week, as we're going to get into Joe Flacco being traded to Denver and how that impacts Nick Foles and a potential trade with Philadelphia and another team. Antonio Brown requested a trade. We got some news about maybe the Eagles playing on Thanksgiving. So Vinny Curry got released yesterday. We talked about that, me and Gino. So go check out Tuesday's edition of the show on LockedOnEagles.com or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
And
so
John Elway still can't evaluate a quarterback.
John Elway loves those quarterbacks that go under center and thrive off play action.
Because he
sees the difference between Joe Flacco and Case Keenum?
Really none. I think it's more of a John Elway thing where he just wants to look at himself as he played in his career. And these guys implement the same style that John Elway played in the last years of his career in Denver, the play-action rollout. It's been a staple of Denver football for years, with the exception of Peyton Manning because, you know, he has his own system. But if you actually look at it, look at all the quarterbacks that have gone through Denver the past 15 to 20 years ever since John Elway left. Jake Plummer, Brian Griese, let's go to Jay Cutler, and then that weird time with Tim Tebow. But if you look at a lot of the quarterbacks that have played there, Kyle Orton being another one, classic drop back, play action, rollout quarterback.
Which is not what Nick Foles is. And they apparently looked into Nick Foles, but that was actually a key reason they chose Flacco over Foles, was the style of quarterback. And I think that's nuts considering Nick Foles to me right now on the level. You know, they've had similar careers where they're both on and off quarterbacks that are really good in the playoffs and in big moments, but don't always get to those big moments because of their inconsistent play. But 2019 Nick Foles versus 2019 Joe Flacco, like if we were comparing 2019 Nick Foles versus, say, 2013 Joe Flacco, this would maybe be on an even playing field. Right now, I think Nick Foles is significantly better, and maybe for a round higher, they could have got Nick Foles, and they apparently looked into it, but they liked Flacco being that under-center pocket, you know, play-action style quarterback, and that's why they chose Flacco over Foles. I don't know about you, Lars, but I feel like Nick Foles is significantly better right now as a player than Joe Flacco.
And I don't think Joe Flacco is even better than Case Keenum.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You're already paying a guy $21 million on the cap that is that style of quarterback. I mean, right now, they're going to probably trade
and he's
Case
younger.
Keenum, but you can't even cut Keenum without eating $10 million in dead cap.
There's even an opening that Minnesota might take him back because they might already be done with Kirk Cousins.
This didn't seem like a move Denver should make, considering they're not a quarterback away from being a winning football team anymore.
No.
And if you're going to draft a guy like Drew Lock anyway, you already had that bridge quarterback in Case Keenum.
Yeah.
So if you were doing what they're clearly the blueprint is to win now, it should have been Nick Foles, but they went with Joe Flacco. They're apparently giving up a fourth-round pick, which some said was going to hurt the Eagles' chances of getting a higher pick for Nick Foles. I disagree. I think this is really good that Flacco, a mid-tier quarterback in the fourth round, I think Jimmy Kemsky put it this way, perfect.
Oh, yeah, I was reading that same exact tweet.
Him in the fourth round is actually going to help the Eagles with Nick Foles because of where Foles is compared to Flacco right now, and I think the Eagles can get a third this year, maybe a third and a player. Who knows? Maybe I don't know if they can get a second-round pick, but I think they'll be able to get more than a fourth-round pick and that 2020 compensatory third that they'd get if Foles left. So at the very least, I think they'll be able to get a 2019 third if everything works out the way hopefully we're banking on.
So here's my question.
Okay.
Who takes the cheese?
I think this is Jacksonville. According to Mike Garafolo today of NFL Network, they have mutual interests, Jacksonville and Nick Foles, and that's what I was worried about. So the Eagles, remember Chris Mortensen reported a couple weekends ago that the Eagles preferred to trade Foles to Jacksonville. But the contingency was Foles had to be willing to go, right? Because he bought his way into free agency already. Right now he's currently a free agent. The Eagles can tag him by February 19th. But the problem was you still needed some sort of cooperation with Nick Foles, who doesn't have to sign the tag, right? He can refuse, and then the Eagles have to pull it. But if he has mutual interest in Jacksonville, which he should, because another good thing of Flacco going to Denver is that's one less option for Nick Foles in free agency. So he might think, Jacksonville's the best option anyway. If Philadelphia can get a pick for me, you know, he's not going to put up a fight now, I think. So I think this helps with the leverage. The Flacco trade helps with leverage against Nick Foles. It hurts leverage against other teams because there's one less team to compete for Nick Foles. But if Jacksonville is willing to deal, I am very confident right now that the Eagles can get something for him.
Yeah, I'd say Jacksonville does make a lot of sense. If you look everywhere else, there's also that other team that I don't think Philadelphia wants to trade him
to. Well, that's the thing, too. I'm happy
or
that
they don't want Nick Foles to go there.
Right,
and I think you know what team that is.
If I'm happy that Nick Foles is okay going to Jacksonville because I was really concerned he was going to be eyeing the Giants.
That's
and
I was mentioning.
And it would be fun. It would be a fun storyline, Wentz versus Foles in the division twice a year. It would be entertaining. I didn't enjoy it because DeSean Jackson would just destroy the Eagles in Washington for 3 years. But it is a cool storyline. But at the same time, Foles and an offense with Shermer that I think actually he might fit in. I think Shermer would like a guy like Foles, a rhythmic-centric quarterback with Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram.
They've actually got really good
pieces.
They've got weapons.
So that is a scary option, but I'm glad Nick Foles is into the idea of rejoining with John DeFilippo, who's now the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. It was the obvious choice, and people were like, is it too obvious? You know, is there a team like Miami or Oakland that would be interested? I don't know. I think Foles is realizing Jacksonville might be, once again, his best option.
I don't think Oakland makes any sense because if you look at the Raiders, they're trying to lose.
And same with Miami, right?
I'd say Miami also. Personally, I think, on an off note, their hiring of Brian Flores was brilliant. I think that might be one of the best hires.
But with a new head coach and a new GM, I don't think they want to tie their wagon to Nick Foles as good as
No, they don't want a 29 to 30 year old veteran already who's going to be on the downside of his career after a couple of seasons. They want to get a guy that's a long term issue. So if you look at Jacksonville, that's actually the ideal situation for a win now quarterback because you have a win now defense. You have, I know, didn't they decline the option on Fournette?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so that's kind of a
question. But their whole defense is really still intact for a long time. Like, this defensive core is intact. They might lose Darius, but with all that depth of the defensive line and their secondary,
they're not really losing much if they lose Darius.
They make the most sense. This is interesting, though, Lars, from a Foles stand perspective, and I'm not part of the Foles stand group, but the people that were calling for Foles over Wentz, while I think Joe Flacco getting traded to Denver instead of Foles is the wrong call for the Broncos, it shows how teams view Foles. Where someone was willing to choose Flacco over Foles. He was never going to be considered over Carson Wentz. And it shows what other teams still feel about him. He might be really into Jacksonville because he knows it might be his only choice. So it just goes to show, you know, as good as Nick Foles was in the playoffs the past 2 years for Philadelphia, he has never really been seen as a guy that can be the face of your franchise. And while I think he can be a good starting quarterback and he can be great in big moments, he was never going to be what Carson Wentz can be and what he was in 2017. And other teams clearly view him the same way.
Yeah. If you actually look at the AFC South, imagine if Nick Foles joined that division with Mariota, with
Luck.
With Luck, and also with Deshaun Watson.
That'd be a great division.
That'd be really fun to watch.
Because Jacksonville kind of went out of that race, and that was the only... You know, the Colts and the Texans were in the playoffs. The Titans had that play-in game with the Colts week 17. You get Nick Foles and Jacksonville in there. That's a fun division to watch.
Very competitive.
Absolutely. And look, this isn't the first insider, Mike Garafolo, to pair Nick Foles with Jacksonville. Chris Mortensen talked about it. Jay Glazer also linked Foles and Jacksonville, saying that Jacksonville would most likely be the team most interested in doing a deal with the Eagles if they tag him. And of course, still, the Eagles need to have a deal in place in principle if they tag Foles, because there's too many risks of saying, let's tag him, and I will wing it. Now let's go find a trade partner, because then you're on the hook for that $25 million that the tag would ultimately be on for Nick Foles.
You're kind of playing a rather dangerous game.
Yeah.
When you put down that tag.
So I think this Flacco move kind of helps the Eagles move Foles, and it hurts them in the same way.
Because again, now they can't really tag him because there's less options.
There's one less. I mean, they can tag him if Jacksonville says, we still want him. Like, he is a guy that we want to be our starter next year, and we want to avoid maybe another team having interest.
And then you get the approval of Foles.
Yeah, but Denver was one of the only other teams that was going to have interest that the Eagles would be willing to deal him to. So it does hurt their leverage from a standpoint of, you know, negotiating with Jacksonville, but it does help their leverage against Nick Foles because, again, that's one less team Nick Foles can choose in free agency if he did not want to be franchise tagged.
So let me ask this question. If you're Nick Foles, let's say that the Flacco trade never happened, what would be the better fit for Nick Foles? Would it be Denver or would it be Jacksonville?
I would still choose Jacksonville because of the DeFilippo combination. DeFilippo was the quarterback coach when Foles won the Super Bowl. He knows what Foles likes, and that is huge for Foles because remember what happened in St. Louis. He came from an offense in Chip Kelly's that went around Foles' strengths, right? Rhythmic-centric quarterback, get the ball out quick, take shots down the field. And then he went to the Rams, and he did not fit in that offense. They did not have any talent around him. They had no structure in place offensively, and he nearly retired because of it.
What else is
in
new?
Denver,
it's Jeff Fisher.
In Denver right now, they have Vic Fangio as their head coach, a defensive-minded coach, the defensive coordinator of the Bears last year.
Denver always has a good defense.
They're an offense that's coming down, not up. They lost. They dealt Demaryius Thomas last year to Houston. Emmanuel Sanders is coming off a season-ending injury. I really like Cortland Sutton and Philip Lindsay. But I would much rather go with Jacksonville with that great defense, a team that's going to be competing late in the season when you're best, and you have a coach that you know, and he knows what you like. So to me, and this is why I kept saying, like, Jacksonville is the team. Jacksonville is the team. If a deal is going to happen, it's going to be with the Jaguars. And Denver, I think they messed up. I think they should prefer Foles, but I think Foles should prefer Jacksonville for sure.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think about that? I think it's the Jags. I think it's close because Denver is a good defense too.
They got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller.
He also gets to live in Florida, though. He gets to live in a warm place. He's from
Denver.
He's a California
Denver's
boy.
Really beautiful.
He's a Texas boy. Denver is pretty nice.
Denver is gorgeous. But, yeah, I would much rather live in Florida because, one, far less tax, and, two, you get to live in a very warm climate.
He's got a one-year-old daughter. Gets to live in Florida, go to Disney World.
Yeah, but you can't snowboard down there.
I don't know if Foles is a snowboarder. Mm. He's a basketball player. He wants to go outside and be on the courts.
Yeah, that
there
does.
We go. Reading into this, maybe a little bit too much.
That's what we do here, though.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We're going to get into some more trade speculation, this time with Mr. Antonio Brown. Should the Eagles be interested? That's coming up next, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, one segment down, two to go on this Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis recapping the Joe Flacco trade to Denver and how that impacted Nick Foles and a potential trade the Eagles could ship him off somewhere in the month of February or March. Again, they can tag him by February 19th, so next week, Tuesday, is when we're going to keep our eyes out for a potential Nick Foles franchise tag and trade move. We'll see if the Eagles are confident that they can get that done, but for now, another big name has requested a trade, and we saw this coming. This was going to happen. Antonio Brown has requested a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'll pose this question, Lars, because the Eagles they've always been aggressive. While Howie Roseman has kind of been more aggressive now, you know, utilizing different areas, the draft, free agency, trading. Whereas in the past, the first stint of Howie Roseman as the GM, it was all aggression through free agency. They've traded for guys like Jay Ajayi that went stale in Miami, Ronald Darby in Buffalo, Tim Jernigan in Baltimore, right? He has done this. Michael Bennett in Seattle. Should the Eagles be interested in Antonio Brown if you are Howie Roseman? Let's put not that Howie Roseman's a GM now. Lars Lewis, you are the Eagles GM, and Antonio Brown is available. Is there a certain price that you're now more willing to deal for Antonio Brown, or is he just a untouchable player that you would not trade for?
Personally, in regards to the Eagles roster, coaching staff, I gave this a lot of thought because you have to give it a lot of thought. Considering
when there's a guy in that market like that,
he's
good,
the most talented wide receiver in the game today. But here's why I wouldn't do it. Judging from what I've seen the past few months, he's a basket case.
Yeah, is he going to be okay with the target share that Alshon Jeffrey, Aguilar, Ertz, Goddard all split?
No, he wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't seem that way.
We've seen him throw the Gatorade jugs in the sidelines. And a lot of it, look, it's not
look,
on
it's a lot on Ben.
It's a
Let's
lot
make
on Big
that
Ben.
Clear.
Ben Roethlisberger should not get a pass. But it also doesn't mean that
Brown shouldn't get a pass
like,
either.
Two negatives. Right?
Doesn't make a positive.
Like, one negative being negative doesn't make the other one a positive. So Antonio Brown still, to me, is someone that wants his targets. And while he would be incredible in this offense,
how many more targets does he want? Like, look how many times he got the ball the last, like, 3 years.
By a significant margin.
Yeah,
with Alshon and with Ertz and Goddard still here, hypothetically, maybe. I saw a trade drawn up where it would be a second-round pick in Aguilar. I'm not willing to do that.
No.
I would much rather have Aguilar. I mean, look, they can fit Antonio Brown in the books. He's only making, I think, $12 million annually. I'd rather take Nelson Aguilar, who right
it's
now
is
on...
It's the locker room fit is what I'm concerned
and
about.
And that's... Look, and the locker room is so solidified that maybe they could bring him in, and he would just... When they're winning games, he would accept the culture. But the Steelers have been winning games.
They've been on the cusp of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were in the AFC Championship just a couple years ago. They've consistently been in the playoffs. But the guy ghosted them week 17 when they're trying to get into the postseason.
Yeah, that's a big red flag.
So winning isn't... So that's why I'm still concerned is that, yeah, the Eagles have a strong locker room, and maybe that could help him. But at the same time... He had a locker room that, you know, wasn't like the Eagles, but they were still winning games, right? You always see culture break down when you're losing, but they were still winning, and it was still happening.
Yeah.
So that, to me, says there is something about Antonio Brown that scares me to come into this locker room.
Yeah.
As you know, he would be good with Carson Wentz, though.
Like, obviously, yes.
I mean, talent beats culture. Like, the Steelers, despite having some...
But Philly has talent already.
No, right, and that's the thing is... But let's be real, though. Talent does beat culture. The Steelers have still been damn good despite having all these head cases in the locker room. But the Eagles don't need that, though. That's the thing. If a team like the, I don't know, the San Francisco 49ers want to
I was thinking the same thing.
Then I get it, because they're a team that an Antonio Brown could take them to the next level. The Eagles are already on that level. And to me, if you were going to, if you would have to ship off a fourth-round pick, okay, maybe now let's talk. But a second-round pick and another player like a Nelson Aguilar, I'd rather have Aguilar, I'd rather pay John Brown or DeSean Jackson, and then use that second-round pick on this deep defensive line core, go take a running back with one of those picks. I just think that it depends on the compensation, but even if the compensation was pretty cheap, I'd be nervous. And he would be out there on the field, and he would ball with Carson Wentz. But it's not the on-the-field thing that I'm worried about. It's
just not an ideal situation.
Because, again, the Eagles share the ball. They move the ball around.
Yeah. Oh, don't tell that to the Foles stands who say he only throws to Ertz all the time.
Which just isn't true. I mean, he threw to Ertz a lot when he was injured. But you saw Wentz clicking with Alshon
at
the beginning of the season.
That does not work with AB.
Look at 2017. Aguilar, Jeffrey, and Ertz, it was just split. They all had around 700 to 900
And now
yards.
You got Goddard into the
and
picture.
And now Dallas Goddard, and you expect them to eventually add a running back, a do-it-all running back, right? So there are a lot of weapons.
And maybe more Darren Sproles next year.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. We'll see how the running back room shakes out. We're going to get into that next week. We got our positional previews for the offseason. I would much rather, if we're going to go grab a big fish on the offensive side, I'd pay Le'Veon Bell $3 or $4 million more than Antonio
that
Brown's
is who
making.
That is who would fit this offense
if
lot better.
If we're
better.
Going to go after one of those Steeler guys, I would rather not give up a draft pick and then maybe a player plus the $12 million you got to pay a year for Antonio Brown. I'll just give. I know Le'Veon wants about what $15 to $16 million. I'd rather give him that money and not give up anything to sign Bell. I don't know about you, Lars. I would rather have Le'Veon in this offense anyway. I think he makes this offense better. What they're missing right now is a weapon in the backfield.
He's basically a younger Sproles.
He can be your...
Who's more impactful.
He's your best runner. He's going to be one of your best receivers. This is a guy that consistently played in the slot for Pittsburgh. He's a great pass protector. And he is not a head case like Antonio Brown.
He just wanted money.
It's a business. And, you know, people can say it's a business for the team. I'm gonna defend the players and say it's a business for the players too. And the decision he made at the position that he plays, I don't blame him. He is not Antonio Brown, where he is throwing stuff on the sidelines. He's getting into it. He goes
throwing
their
footballs
team.
at his quarterback.
And while Le'Veon sat out the entire year, he didn't do what Antonio Brown did, which Brown, who they relied on all season, ghosted them in a game where they had to win to get in the playoffs. And they needed more, and they didn't get it. Baltimore ended up beating Cleveland. But to me, I would rather go after a Le'Veon Bell, especially Le'Veon Bell. He's all about guaranteed money. What does Howie Roseman like to do? He likes to...
Push the cap.
He likes to push the cap. He likes to kick the can down the road. He likes to shorten those cap hits by giving you more guaranteed money in roster bonuses and those kind of incentives. And that's what Le'Veon Bell wants, right, is guaranteed money at the running back position. That's what he wants, is that security. if we're going to get a big fish, I don't think we're going to go after either one. But if the Eagles were going to get a big fish, I would much rather have it be Le'Veon, if you agree with that.
Well, if I think for their most logical option is going to be getting a running back through the draft. And I know that you have been discussing Josh Jacobs from Alabama. And there's also a couple other big names that...
There's a lot of... I love this running back class. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't think they're going to... I don't think they're going to go after either. But if we were... If Howie Roseman was going to go after one of them, to me, I'm choosing Le'Veon. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it's really close.
Yeah, because the...
I think there was a poll, I saw 75% said Le'Veon, too.
Carson Wentz is the offense. Everything that goes around it works based on his strengths. And you have Alshon, you have Aguilar, you have Goddard, you have Ertz. You have all of these weapons to choose from.
And let's take advantage of that offensive line with as good as it is right now.
Yeah.
Wendell Smallwood, there'd be a four-yard hole, and he'd get those 4 yards. But he would never turn that four-yard hole into a 20-yard run. Yeah. That's what Le'Veon Bell can do. Antonio Brown, would he help this offense? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the Eagles are not lacking in passing options for Carson Wentz right now. And I really like the receiver class. I like John Brown. I like DeSean Jackson. I think if Robbie Anderson, although I think the Jets are going to place the first-round tender on him because he's a restricted free agent, if Robbie Anderson hit the open market, the Eagles offered the Jets...
I don't know. I think he's a lot more like Antonio Brown.
I'm just throwing out names that... are available for the Eagles in free agency, and then also the draft. You know, a Hollywood Brown, if they really, really want that kind of deep threat in the first or second round, there are players to be had. Antonio Brown would be incredible in this offense, but I would be very hesitant.
Debo Samuel?
It would be fun. Yeah, Debo Samuel, Penny Hart. It would be fun if Antonio Brown was on this team. Don't get me wrong. It's just,
do you want to inherit
the
headache that comes with it?
Yeah, he makes me really nervous, especially for what he might want. And it's just... You know, we'll see. I don't think they're going to look into it. I think a team like the 49ers or maybe the Bills, I'm not sure who would go after them, but I don't think the Eagles are going to be one of them. Let's take another break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We will come back and wrap up the show, getting into the Eagles potentially playing on Thanksgiving, according to Sports Illustrated. Against who? Find out next on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis on this Wednesday edition of the show. If you missed Monday or Tuesday's show, you can always check them out on our podcast platforms and at LockedOnEagles.com. We tweet them all out on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, at Gino_LOE, or Lars at LarsLewis12. So, Lars, the Eagles might be playing on Thanksgiving again.
My eyes just lit up.
And while we haven't had a lot of success on Thanksgiving recently, well... So, 2014
look,
was awesome.
They're Sanchez not having against, Mark Sanchez.
Well, Sanchez destroyed the Cowboys
I know.
Thanksgiving in 2014, but we all remember the blowout against the Lions in 2015. The Eagles could be back on Thanksgiving, according to Sports Illustrated, likely playing the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, the 8 p.m. game.
That's a big rivalry after the NFC Championship in 2017. I'm excited. Kirk Cousins.
I'm just saying, could you imagine Dallas week on Thanksgiving?
No, it would be great. But Minnesota, honestly.
That's
it's
good, too.
Funny, it's kind of funny the dynamic right now with the Eagles rivalries. Me, personally, as a fan, I'm more into the rivalries with the Vikings and the Saints than I am of the Cowboys or the Giants or the Redskins. And maybe it's because of how those teams just aren't really contenders in the NFC, and the Saints and, well, the Vikings were before they brought in Kirk Cousins for $84 million guaranteed. What a move.
Anyway, and they might be moving him.
I think the Vikings rivalry with the Eagles has kind of cooled off because the Saints, the 2018 Saints, are kind of the new Vikings where they're whining about everything, and they had this beef with the Eagles for no apparent reason outside of maybe they were salty they didn't get to play them.
And now they got the Rams on the list because of what happened in the title game.
So, but still, this is awesome. The Vikings and the Eagles still have a history.
Man.
You know, the fans especially, it's more of a fan
tell
dynamic
though,
than a player
tell
dynamic.
You though, there's a lot of salt in that gumbo.
But that would be a great Thanksgiving game. Do you like the Eagles playing on Thanksgiving?
I would. Of course I would.
To me, Thanksgiving's a football holiday, and I love playing the turkey bowl in the morning, eating, and then having the Eagles on. While if they lose, it'll kind of ruin the rest of your day. But to me, it's still like when they blew out Dallas, it made the holiday so much better.
It gives you a reason to really watch the game, especially with it being 8 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Because if you look, say, our Thanksgivings every year, maybe everybody else's, The Lions game at 12:30 is kind of like background noise in a way. You're just keeping an eye on it. You're seeing what's going on.
I hate that tradition. They need to switch it up with Detroit. I'm sorry, they do.
Look, Louis, it's the one thing they have left.
It's true.
Like, don't take that
away. But don't you agree, though? And it's also a thing for, like, having your team on Thanksgiving is awesome because it's like the NFL chose your team. Like,
well,
yeah,
that's why they made
the
8 p.m. game, so then you get two different teams every year.
I think that's why I kind of take pride in the Eagles getting chosen for Thanksgiving because we are one of the best teams
It's really an honor to when you get to play on that day because...
I mean, not for the players, obviously. I'm sure they want to be with their families. But for me, I'll take it.
I think the players would also, you know, kind of love it too, considering, you know, this is their life, and you get to play on the one day when they were kids, and they were like, I want to play on Thanksgiving
NFL. It would be in Minnesota this time. So it would be the first time they've played in Minnesota since the Super Bowl. That's kind of cool. Haven't played, because they played the Vikings last year at the Link. So now it would be in Minnesota. So interesting stuff. But yeah, apparently... Sports Illustrated, it's not an official thing, of course. The schedule doesn't come out until the spring. But the Eagles could be taking on the Vikings on Thanksgiving, which is really cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Lars, any final thoughts?
I'm really hungry now just talking about Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Let's go get some turkey legs now.
Yes.
I'm hungry now for some deep threats. And some running backs.
I thought you were going to say deep fried turkey.
That's going to do it for
today's
edition.
I can't think of anything else other than food.
Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, at Gino_LOE, and at LarsLewis12. Check out our written content on LockedOnEagles.com. We appreciate the subscribes, the reviews, the rates, everything.
We love it, guys.
We love it. So, for Lars Lewis, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds.